Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Bruce Gates, the principal owner of the Pearl Street Warehouse.
And that's, of course, down in the pretty new wharf down there right by the Anthem and all those other great restaurants and on the waterfront there. Thanks so much for coming in.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Now, a lot of us, maybe our listeners are familiar with it or they've passed it because a lot of people have visited the wharf at this point.
Right.
Maybe even gone to the Anthem. But let's pretend maybe there's a couple people that haven't gone to your venue yet. They've seen it, they've heard about it, but haven't been in there yet. Remind them when you opened and, you know, how you got it off the ground to begin with.
Absolutely. So we opened October 11th, 2017. So we're coming up on our one-year anniversary. We opened with Booker T. Jones for two nights and had a rockin' good party with Booker. Funny story there. We had, once we booked him, we realized we needed to get his famous Hammond B3 organ into the joint and realized we didn't have a door wide enough to do that. So we had to actually knock out a whole course of concrete blocks on our load-in door and put in a larger door to get Booker's B3 in. Mm-hmm. We told him the story, and he signed the door, so it's now the Booker T. Jones door.
Wow.
Backstage door.
Yeah, nice.
Pretty cool.
Now that's a cool story. So people can go in and see the signature.
Yeah, yeah, to get backstage.
That's awesome. Now, when you're founding this, you know the Anthem's going to be right down the street, and
absolutely,
you know there's a bunch of other venues in town. What did you see Pearl Street being, like, what's the sort of the niche that you know, what's your slice of the DC pie, if you will?
Great question. Obviously, the availability of live music in DC is growing, and that's a great thing, mm-hmm, as long as people keep coming out to support it.
Right.
We saw our niche, because we're a pretty small joint. We call ourselves a jewel box, basically. We can accommodate about 300 max, standing room only.
Intimate setting.
An intimate setting, but we are built out like a much larger venue. We've got a super professional sound and light system. We've got recording capability to record both audio and video, all the shows. We've got a cool mezzanine that looks basically down onto the stage. It's a great place to see a show. And our aspiration from the beginning and continues to be develop local music in the D.C. area, provide for many artists the best stage they've ever performed on in a small enough setting that they can fill a house. And then to focus on national touring acts as well and get either baby bands that are just beginning to do their touring or like we have coming up on November 1st, Billy F. Gibbons will get the underplays because it's such a good joint that once these artists discover it, either by talking to other artists or just hear about us, they actually want to come in and play a smaller joint.
Yeah.
For many of them, it's, you know, bringing them back to their roots. And Billy basically said that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just earlier this week, yesterday, so it's been on the brain, we heard that Black Cat was sort of streamlining, you know, removing the basement and moving everything upstairs. They're still going to be their plan.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking, you know, smaller venues, the intimate ones like Black Cat or you guys, mm-hmm, or, I don't know, U Street Music Hall, or, you know, even the Birchmere was telling me when they came in here, everyone go listen to their interview. What's the key to surviving as sort of a smaller venue in compared to, because I mean, you know, MGM opened up and they get huge acts, you know, right, the Britney Spears and Cher's and those people, or in Capital One is always like Drake was just there.
Right.
How do you guys maintain, like, financial wise or business wise, what's the model for that nowadays? Has that changed back in the day? I mean, I'm sort of ignorant to that whole thing.
No,
so as an actual owner of one of these, how do you, is it tricky going up against them, or is it sort of different slices, you know?
Sure, it can be a little tricky. There is a lot of music available in DC, but anybody who owns a music joint and tells you they went into it for financial reasons is not telling you the truth. It's
right,
a terrible financial decision.
Right. Same as starting a band.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, we're in this because we love music and we want to be a part of the musical fabric of this community and provide a venue that I've always dreamed about having. Mm-hmm. And we've got it. The key to it, your question, is getting people to take their earbuds out and come and listen to live music, to
right,
be honest with you. I mean,
yeah,
We have sold out shows. Billy F. Gibbons, of course, sold out in a matter of hours. But we have a lot of shows with a lot of space. And we've got a great venue. It's easy to get to.
A lot of great stuff around
there. A lot of great stuff around there. People just need to come out and support live music. Because the reality is, this is the only way these artists are making anything.
Right.
You don't make money streaming your music. You can have an artist that's wildly popular on Spotify who isn't seeing, you know, a dollar from it, because it's just it's the content is ubiquitous. And if you want to support live music, if you want to keep having that steady supply of new artists, you've got to go out and hear them play live. And man, I'm telling you, our joint is one of the coolest places to see live music you'll ever find.
And not only, it's a great point, but not only just come to support the artists and live music, but isn't it more fun? It's have a night out on the town. Same thing with movies. I mean, yeah, TV streaming's great and binging, but like it's nice going out and having a night, you know, bring a date, bring your friends, family, whatever. Like talk about why it's an experience thing.
Absolutely. And Pearl Street is a great example. We have, you know, one of the hidden gems of Pearl Street Warehouse is the food. Mm-hmm. I mean, our chef is preparing some really good food.
What all you got? What's on the menu?
Crazy drugstore burgers in a variety of meat choices, beef, lamb, chicken, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
We've got tots that people half jokingly refer to as crack tots because they are really good and you can't stop eating them. We serve them either plain or dolled up a couple of different ways.
I crack mean, tots.
it's
I love it.
They are tater tots that are irresistible.
So, I love it.
Yeah, it's we've got some great food, great drinks, and a comfortable place to be. And I mean, you're going to get a performance like, you know, you just won't experience anywhere else. It's a great spot.
That's
and
awesome.
And Wharf is just a cool spot to be, too. I mean, finally, D.C. has access to its own waterfront for the first time. I've been here almost 40 years, and we started Cantina Marina 15, 16 years ago.
You founded that, too? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love so many of us love it, and we were bummed that it shut down temporarily, but it's coming back strong, baby.
Not as bummed as we are, I can tell you that. Yeah, I mean, we had to shut down one of the most successful bars in D.C.
To make bigger and better, baby.
Make room for the phase two of the Wharf. Yeah, we're looking forward to being back. But yeah, we came down to that area, and for 15 years, we were really the only place you could be out on the waterfront, which made it a unique spot, of course. And now you've got just a ton of access to the waterfront in a beautiful development. And
not to mention Arena Stage, and just that whole area is coming out. It's so awesome over there now. It's a great point you made, and that's... I didn't even make that connection that you also ran Cantina Marina. We loved it over there.
Yeah.
And Will with the new one, I'm sure. But it's a great point you made. Whenever you would go there, it was like the one spot in town you would go and you'd be like, wait a minute, D.C. is Washington's a waterfront town.
Yeah.
You know, you see all the boats and everything, and it was so much untapped potential there.
Yeah.
So I love that the Wharf provides that. And, you know, when you see the pictures and videos, you know, when people do national broadcasts of, I don't know, sports games or something, maybe they'll start showing that and everyone around the country and the world will start thinking, oh yeah, there's water there.
Yeah.
Remind me let's go into some of the bands that have played. Who are some of the acts? You've mentioned a couple of them. But what are some of the highlights in your guys' short time there?
Well, you know, we followed Booker T with, Amy Helm, Levon Helm's daughter, who, and she's been back since. Delivered a gut-wrenching show. It was so good. And she is just a cool woman, doing some really neat stuff up in New York and providing a culture up there for artist development. Just this week, we had Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. I mean, she's kind of another cool woman on the opposite end of the spectrum from Amy in terms of energy and this raunchy outlaw vibe. Man, she can deliver a show, though. She is, I think, Sarah, I hope we get her back again because I think she's about to blow up. I
awesome.
Think she's going to go big.
Any other upcoming ones that you're excited about?
Well, of course, Billy Gibbons is just that's a dream come true to have him on our little stage.
That's a good enough teaser, I think. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're still booking them, and you know you can't look too far ahead. So, Check out the schedule online. Remind us the website again.
I've been in New York this week looking at talent, so my head's a little fried off of artist names.
But that's a good question, though. How do you actually... So you said you're in New York looking for talent. How do you go, you know, baseball teams go scout? How does a music venue go scout for the upcoming acts? And how do you actually book and decide who to book?
Well, we have super professional bookers, first of all, who really carry the lion's share of the burden on that. But I do like to get out and look at acts myself. I was in New York on other business and popped in at the Rockwood Music Hall last night and saw half a different groups.
Where's Rockwood? Is it in the Village or where is it?
It's down in the Bowery.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a great joint. I also have business in Nashville. I am a partner in a artist management and publishing business there.
They don't really do much music there.
Yeah. I'm headed there next week for a few days. I'm actually launching an artist there in Nashville next week. So yeah,
what's their name?
Jordan Brooker.
There you go. Wanted to give them a plug.
Constantly looking for talented artists, particularly those that kind of meet our mission that just need a break. They need a spot to play and deliver to a receptive, informed audience. That's mm-hmm. the kind of audience we're trying to cultivate.
What's some of the feedback you've gotten from the artists after they play? Like maybe they come in thinking one thing, and then as they're leaving, what's their reaction?
I'll tell you, this is the God's honest truth, because I made it a point for the first 3 months we were in business to be at every show and to sit down with the artist after every show and say, all right, you know, no BS. Tell me what we can do better here. And I'm telling you, we got very, very few negative comments at all, and have never really gotten many. The artists love the venue. I mean, for a venue our size, to have a green room that's stocked and private bathroom and shower, to have the professional staff that we have to know how to do load-ins and, importantly, load-outs, get them, you know,
the old Jackson Brown loadout.
Exactly. I mean, we've got a professional team. As I mentioned, the sound and video equipment is top of the line. The team really works hard to make sure the artists are blown away by it. And the feedback I've gotten from agents, whether it's in Nashville, New York, LA, is that their artists really enjoyed. And I mean, that's why they've been coming back. This past week, I think, was Sarah's third trip to Pearl Street, certainly second. Amy Helm that night. So she was our second artist, and we were still working out the kinks. We were still doing construction when we opened. I sat down with her that night and asked her that question, and she said, honestly, the only thing I would tell you is please have me back. Can I come back in the spring? And we said, absolutely, come back.
That's what you want to hear, when the artists are begging to come back.
You know, we feel really good about it. As long as, you know, the people come out, we're doing a lot of free music too. We'll have shows with tickets for sale, but you go on the website, you're going to find probably half of our shows are actually free. Just come in and enjoy the music and, you know, get a beer and a hamburger.
And what's the idea behind that? Because that's obviously
developing audience.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. We've got to get DC people used to taking the earbuds out and going and seeing live music.
Because once they see it, once they're there, they'll want to come back and maybe do the paid show. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's really good for you guys.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. We've
absolutely
got a good 15 minutes worth of stuff here, weaving in with all the other venues. But before we go, just sort of in closing, what's in a name? Pearl Street Warehouse. How did you guys land on that?
It's a long story.
It's memorable. I see the hat. It says the Pearl.
Yeah, the Pearl.
That's the nickname.
Well, Pearl Street obviously is our street. Mm-hmm. We wanted to capture the essence of what Monty and his team had in mind when they created Pearl Street as an entertainment district. We'd like to think we're sort of on the, you know, we're the sun in the middle of that universe, as the, not only because of our name, but our location in the middle of that short street. Warehouse, it goes back to a production company that we've had for 20 some odd years producing major events at Warehouse Productions. Warehouse Records was a spinoff of that. So the Warehouse has always been kind of a theme to what we do. And obviously you've been in Pearl Street It is designed to feel like you're in an old warehouse. Right. So we just like that idea of taking over abandoned structures and repurposing them into something cool.
It makes it different from the fancy, shiny arena shows too. It plays into that whole vibe.
Yeah, it's a very comfortable place to be.
Yeah.
Chill out. So.
But also the nickname, the Pearl. I feel like it's like this little secret gem.
That's right.
It's the jewel box you're talking about.
We are the jewel box with the pearl in it. Yeah, absolutely.
Money bite right there in the end. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
and all the
Jason.
Best and good luck.
Appreciate it.
Keep getting good artists and good luck on your, going to New York and Nashville and finding other ones and bring them back to us.
Thank you. I will.
And final question. When is Cantina Marina open again?
Ballpark 2022.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, just keep coming out to the Pearl and support it.
Absolutely.
Because some of that resources will go to Cantina.
And we've got Cantina Bambina that's right across from the Anthem's marquee.
Explain what that is.
Yeah, that's just a small rooftop bar, but it's got the best view at the wharf.
You own and operate that? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's our same team. It's a great spot. I mean, it is the sunset spot. Iconic. We remember all the iconic sunset pictures at Cantina Marina. You've got it's actually a better view than Cantina Marina had because it's less obstructed by the rest of the wharf. It looks right out to the bridge and the monuments. It's a cool spot.
You're a little further out in the water a little bit. You're a little down, more out there.
A little elevated.
And a little further closer to the monuments and stuff,
exactly.
too. So.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
All right, so everyone get out there in sunset. Even if you're just seeing arena stage or going to a show or going to the Pearl, wherever you go, go check that out before or after around sunset.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Great spot.
This was great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.